On for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
All right, here we go, Cofield and Company. Fun, 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 fun. Party, 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 party. We are all over town on a Friday, as we often are. Our Friday home, of course, is Treasure Island. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. I wasn't here last week. It was actually at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. Adam Hill was handling this side of the show. Today, we wanted to make a big deal of the Aces game tonight. Says maybe they're coming out of the early season funk. They got a midweek victory. Now they go against one of the best teams in the WNBA. So, of course, our man on the WNBA is one Willie Ramirez. And Willie is up with us here as he is live at the MUA.
I am. I am in the back room, in the shadows, where it all goes down. I have
Willie,
the illustrious John Jiggy Maxwell on my left.
We'll work on this, Willie. I believe your speaker is up on your computer. So let's work that for a second. So it was a little complicated with the setup, as Griffin is also a neophyte on this front. So we're working on different things. All right, William.
Well,
I think we're going to be good to go.
Okay.
So what's going on down there? Jiggy hooked you up?
Yes. Jiggy set me up, but I have my own desk here in the press room. So I am the first speaker today, not Becky Hammond. I was going to go out in the arena. I like to have the sounds in the background, the ambiance of what's taking place. But I believe around 3:40, 3:45, they start running the test with the sounds on the video board, and it gets loud, and I didn't want you to get cranky, so I figured I would come in the back, because nothing happens back here for a while. But I am excited for tonight's game.
Yeah, it's a little loud out there. We've done some shows courtside, and once they start testing, and I tell you, the most blood-curdling thing, Willie, is actually when they test the referee whistles.
Oh.
It is freaking eardrum shattering. Very loud. You don't realize how loud it has to be because, you know, you're not there with a crowd before the game, and then all of a sudden there's 10,000 people and they're roaring, and at least the people on the floor need to hear the whistle.
Well, not only that, but then when we would do the shows at T-Mobile, remember I would do before Golden Knights game, and all of a sudden they would test the horn. It seemed like they would do it at 30 times.
Yes,
it might
yes.
have been 10, but it seemed like it was excessive.
All right, Willie, let's get But we're excited for the game tonight. We'll get into that in about 5 minutes. Is it actually, this is your thing here, National Days. Come on now. Is it actually National Wiener Dog Day? Is it actually National Dachshund Day?
It is. It's kind of wild. It's National Dachshund Day. And they do it because they on this day, June 21st, because apparently this is the longest day of the year. So since dachshunds are the long dog, they celebrate National Dachshund Day on June 21st. So, yeah. I took Kahlua. Before I left here, I dropped Kahlua off at the pet resort so he can hang out with his friends and celebrate. They'll celebrate him, of course.
And we know from the past, in talking to Willie about Kahlua, the muscled-up, roided wiener dog, that there's quite the dachshund community around Las Vegas.
There is.
Yeah.
There
you've,
is.
You've made some pals. With, like, if people really love the dachshund, and if they have one, they're in with you.
There are. It's almost as if there's a dachshund mafia. They're out there, and they run strong.
You know, I wasn't planning on getting into this, but I wonder. Well, I'd seen some pictures of Bill Belichick with his new girlfriend, right, on a plane, and his girlfriend is 24. I think he met her when she was like 21 and a half, 22. And some folks at back at my school in the Rutgers community noticed that Belichick, who's a buddy of Rutgers coach Greg Schiano, had on a Rutgers sweatshirt. And I sort of joked to other friends. I'm like, yep, always worked for me. Always can haul in the 24-year-olds. Not really. But I wonder if maybe Belichick has a dachshund. It seems to be kind of a good draw.
Wow, you left that. You kind of just served that up, right? Like a volleyball.
I did.
Or a floater for softball for me to whack out of the park. I am not even going to go.
You can spike it or run the other way. I was going to say you could run the other way if you want to.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a pass on that one. I'm not. Belichick, the 24-year-old girlfriend, and does he have a wiener dog? I will leave that one alone.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so some news coming up here, we think, in the NHL is obviously we're going to get to the Stanley Cup game number 6 in just a couple minutes. But as we start to look ahead towards the draft and towards free agency, are we starting to hear some rumors, Willie, about the Golden Knights? And you cover the Golden Knights for the AP. What are we hearing on the personnel front?
Yeah, there's a report out there that Anthony Mantha was informed by the Golden Knights he will not be re-signed. But that was kind of expected, I believe, before the season even ended, that he would be one of the ones that would not be back. He was sort of a loner, came aboard, as you know, he was acquired midway through the season. So I didn't expect him to come back. And from what I have been told, the priorities for this team are Jonathan Marchessault and Chandler Stephenson first and foremost. As far as goaltending is concerned, their loyalty is with Aiden Hill. I don't expect Logan Thompson to be back. So the two names to look out for as we get closer to free agency July 1st, locking them up, securing deals, is going to be Jonathan Marchessault, Chandler Stephenson.
Seems right.
Yeah. Alec Martinez, I think he's going to retire. I think that the injury, the blade cut deep into the face, I think that did a number on him.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, you know, I could be wrong as far as the mental health aspect, but it did take a toll. And I just think that what else can he accomplish realistically? I mean, guy's got a few rings. He's a veteran leader, and I don't know what more he has to prove out there. He could retire respectfully. I mean, if he goes to a different team, so be it. But I think he might be done.
Willie, for the game tonight, are we on the verge of seeing something historic where if the Panthers can close it out, we have a Conn Smythe winner from the losing team? Is that actually possible?
It is, because there's a lot of people that think that the finals MVP is just for the Stanley Cup final. But the Conn Smythe is realistically, it's the MVP to his team for the entire playoffs. And one could argue that the Edmonton Oilers would not be in the position they're in without Connor McDavid through every round. So after what we saw him do and wake up in game 4, registering 4 points, leading Edmonton to an 8-1 victory, and then turn around in game 5, another 4 points. I mean, it's hard to argue against it. Is there anybody, the question has to be asked, is there anybody on the Florida Panthers who is more valuable to that team and has been all postseason than Connor McDavid has been all the playoffs? And I think that there's more. The one thing that we've said about the Panthers is the depth. Anybody that's picked the Panthers, they've been talking about the depth on this team. Whereas with Edmonton, it starts and ends with Connor McDavid.
Remember, the Lotus Summer Fun is back. We give away a trip 8 weeks straight throughout the summer. We got a trip this week. You can qualify. Simple thing. You just text in the code word. The code word today is train. 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 702-364-1100. You got to dial the 702-364-1100. This week's trip is a 4-day, 3-night trip to Liverpool. Very Beatles-themed trip to Liverpool, England. And all you got to do to get in on the summer of fun, courtesy of Planet Nissan, is text in the word train. That's our code word of the day. We give out a different code word Monday through Friday. 702-364-1100. Qualify for the trip.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Big Aces game tonight over at Mick Ultra Arena. We're here at Treasure Island. Willie Ramirez from the AP and WGRamirez.com is hanging out inside the MOA. All right, let's set up this game, Willie, and then we got some fight stuff to get to, some other good stuff the rest of this hour on a Friday. So the Sun are damn good, and you told us about the Sun a while back that, hey, that's a team on the come, and they've got multiple levels of scoring.
They do. It's a team that is full of veterans and, you know, a coach that has obviously built the chemistry over the years. And I think, you know, when you think of the Connecticut Sun, you think of Alyssa Thomas, you think of DeWanna Bonner automatically. But, you know, Brianna Jones was a sixth player of the year a couple of years ago, and they missed her last year. She tore her Achilles. Then you had Dejanay Carrington, who has slowly improved and has just swarmed the league this year. And I think she's up for most improved player, her and De'Erica Hamby. This is a stacked team. And Stephanie White has done a great job. They're 13-1. They're the most physical team. We've talked about this on the show the past, you know, since the season started. It's how physical this team can be. But they can go on scoring runs, and when they're suffocating you on the defensive end, it's what really can cause some problems for you. So I think that the return of Chelsea Gray has come at the perfect time. The fact that she got into a game, sort of got game ready a couple of days ago against Seattle helped. I'll be very interested to see how they perform and how they can sort of mash with the Connecticut Sun, who have been realistically unbeatable other than a game against the Liberty.
You know, and I got to go back to what Becky Hammon said, I don't know, it was probably about five games ago, which I think people are taking the wrong way and misapplying. And she had, well, you know what? There's two parts of it. Because the beginning of the comment, Willie, and you were there, she said she was having a tough time getting through to the players. But that wasn't about motivation. It was about explaining to them that the league is coming for them. And I think some people took that as, well, you know, they've won the title so easily that they're just kind of bored and not motivated. And all they got to do is get on the dance floor and they're good to go. But you've been telling us all along, and I've seen it, you know, with the games that I've watched, that the middle of the league got better. Coaches got more familiar with their rosters. Players got healthy. I also think some early season struggles by the Aces also convinced some people that that invincibility cloak that they have been wearing the last couple of years is a lot of phooey. And I think the Storm are a good example. Now, the Storm didn't get it done the other night. I think the Liberty have absolutely worked mentally in the offseason to go, you know what, all that trash talk that got you guys all on edge during the finals, ignore it. They're not invincible. The league is catching up. And I'm not saying the bottom of the league is catching up, although the bottom is catching up to the middle. But there are now, you know, five or six good teams, and the teams that are 3-6, if you still want to have the Liberty and the Aces up top, the 3-6 teams are more confident and better than they've been.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what? When the Liberty were here last week or a couple weeks ago, I even posed this question to Sandy Brondello, or I reminded her of a quote that I have used over and over and over since last year, that she said last season, it's the Aces and the rest of the league, and they have to do a better job of catching up. And hopefully by the end of the season, one of those teams would catch up. We saw the Liberty in the WNBA Finals. I think what we've seen during the offseason and the start of this season is the league has caught up. They've gotten better. They've either strengthened their rosters and bolstered it with strong rookies or offseason acquisitions. Phoenix Mercury are a perfect example. And bringing in Natasha Cloud and bringing in Kalia Copper, Rebecca Allen. I mean, this has been a team that – and then you add Brittany Griner, who now has a year under her belt since the Russian ordeal. That team is well improved. Minnesota Lynx, I think Cheryl Reeve is leading the pack for Coach of the Year this season. So they've all gotten better, and what they've done ultimately is figure out how to get by the Aces' defense. It's been on Becky Hammon and her crew to now adjust on their part. And we've heard Becky say time and time again, when you throw a question about tonight's opposition, the pregame opponent, right? Someone will ask tonight about the Connecticut Sun, and she's going to say, you know what? I worry about what my team does first. I really do worry about my players and what we have to do as long as we go out and play Aces basketball. There's got to be a time where they have to look and see what are these teams doing now and actually worry about the other team, not just about what they're doing, because the rest of this team has really figured out how to play the Las Vegas Aces.
She's fibbing, right? Obviously, there's a scout for the other team. They know about the other team.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. These
are words to motivate her team.
They worry about the other team, but their first and foremost is let's play Aces basketball and make them play to us. They have a film room where it's like a movie theater in there, right? So, at their facility. So they study game film and they know what other teams are doing. But, a lot of times the schedule doesn't allow for certain. They're playing every other night, to get that type of work. And we saw what the schedule makers did to the Indiana Fever. They didn't have time to practice. They're traveling and they're playing, So I think the addition of Chelsea Gray, her coming back the other night, I'll be honest, I didn't expect I know how great she is, and I know what that offense could do with her in the lineup, but the immediate impact at both ends of the floor, I had been saying, it's not going to fix the defense immediately. I was a little surprised at how they handled the Seattle Storm the way they did. I didn't think that they couldn't win. Chelsea Gray comes back, you automatically increase your chances to win, but the way that they won was a little surprising. I didn't expect it. Maybe it just inspired life with this team, her presence on the floor alone.
Wow. This weekend's busy, and I'm wowing your analysis as well. It was a good analysis. I still expect some more growth defensively. To your point, it wasn't perfect the other night, but it was slightly improved. After this game, the Aces have a break. They're going to go on the road. That's a good thing next week. What are you covering next week? There is so much for the AP to cover. Next weekend is crazy. We've got... And it really starts during the week. We've got Copa America hitting the Al for a couple of days. We've got the NHL draft at the end of the week. We've got UFC 303 at the end of the week. And it's really during the week with all the lead up. What are you covering? Little everything?
Little of everything. I'm looking at my calendar right now. So the beginning of the week, I will be gearing up coverage for the from my site. And sort of jumping in all the WNBA Zooms to make sure that I keep up with what I've already started, right? So I can keep everything uniform. Monday, my power rankings. Tuesday, some sort of notes package or maybe something on the betting. But next weekend, I've got the NHL draft. I will feel out Saturday's coverage of the draft and whether or not I go to UFC 303. Following week, the Fever come to town, and that's at T-Mobile. The Mystics are also in town, but then and you mentioned Copa. I know I'm on for one or two of those days.
Oh, Lordy!
The Aces go out of town, but then they come back, and they got three games the first week of July. They host the Fever, the Mystics, and the Wings.
Yeah, but next weekend's crazy.
Next weekend's crazy.
And there's good news about UFC 303. Conor McGregor isn't fighting.
Right.
Now, the good news is that it finally came out that Conor McGregor's injury is not a fracture to his leg that was snapped in the fight against Poirier. It is actually a broken toe. I've never broken a toe. I would assume all toes broken suck. It's the pinky toe. So the point here is, unless it's aggravated and he takes care of it, do all the drug tests and all that and stay healthy, he's going to be able to fight before the end of the year if UFC can find him a spot and if he wants. I think that is tremendous news for MMA, that this isn't – because if it was a fracture of the same leg, you're like, okay, bro, you got to start thinking about retiring.
Yeah. No, the toe is no joke. I'll tell you a quick story. Many years ago, when my son was in USA Taekwondo, okay, sanctioned by the USA Olympic Committee. There was a major tournament up at Cal Berkeley. The week of the tournament, he was in training on the mat, and they were doing self-defense techniques in the third class of the day, and a kid fell flat down. He was supposed to fall a certain way. He didn't, and he broke Jordan's toe. We were to fly to Berkeley that weekend, and Jordan said, "Hey, we already paid, we're going, we have the flight, let's go." And he went up there and fought one-footed. But a broken toe is no joke. And it has to heal on its own. You can't cast it, you can't treat it. There's nothing you can do. Ice it, take a pain pill or ibuprofen, and that's it. It has to heal on its own. Now, I did read something I thought you sent over, and they said, like, possibly 4 weeks. Or what did it say, 2 weeks?
A few weeks. It's gonna be longer than that.
It's going to be longer than that.
They don't need him before that.
No, it's a process. But he will be back by the end of the year. He'll be able to fight. But that, but as far as the pain, the threshold for pain is brutal, especially MMA.
Did you just do a piece? I don't know if it's AP or Sporting Tribune. You just do a piece on the meaning of fight nights here. We're still a massive MMA and boxing town, and I know the Saudis, at least one is, Turki Alashik's trying to come in and save boxing. This is still a very special place for the biggest fights. Really good fight cards, Willie.
Yeah, I wrote it for Arash on the Sporting Tribune off of last weekend's fight card over at MGM, the 100th card ever at MGM. We talked about that last Friday. I was at the celebration event on Thursday, but I did follow it up on with a column for the Sporting Tribune for Monday morning, just talking about what it's always meant, you know. And I interviewed Jim Gray, and it was kind of crazy because I talked to Nico Ali Walsh, and I was telling him that the first fight I ever went to, off the top of my head, was Ali Holmes. And then you fast forward, and I covered Ali Walsh's first fight at MGM, not his pro debut, but first fight at MGM. So here I am interviewing him. Spoke to Bob Arum, spoke to a lot of different people. But it is a special night because it's a different mystique. Now, I think it was better in the 80s and 90s than it is now, just because I think boxing's luster has fallen off. It's tarnished a little bit because of UFC.
Right.
The popularity of UFC. But fight night for UFC is big too.
Massive.
And I think when you look at a lot of the sports that are in Las Vegas, it's now become, it's more than going to the event. Okay, it's a Friday night in Las Vegas. You're going to more than an Aces game tonight. You're going to an event. These organizations, be it Top Rank, UFC, the Aces, the Golden Knights, right? They put on a show. They don't just put on a game. So I think sporting events in Las Vegas as a whole are pretty special.
That Ali Holmes fight, was that outside? Was that Caesar's Palace outside?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
outdoor
stadium
in the back parking lot.
How do you compare to something like that, right?
Those outdoor stadiums, that, you know, those fights were crazy.
And during the 2nd, October 2nd, 1980.
Yes.
You remember the weather that night? Was it pretty decent? Was it windy? Was it hot?
I don't remember it like being, I just remember being very upset because I loved Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
I was 11 years old. I was in tears. But when I was writing my story, I looked it up. I actually looked that up, and it was, I believe it was 80. It was a sweltering 89.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. I was just going to look it up. Yeah. 89. That is so crazy. That happens, man. October can still be hot as a, you know what.
But here's what we used to do, Steve.
Yeah.
We go to the stadium, the outdoor stadium, right? First of all, you get dressed up. It was a new outfit. If there was a fight, you're getting a new outfit. You're going to the Meadows Mall or the Boulevard Mall or the fashion show, and they were small stretches of walkways. It wasn't a big monstrosity like the fashion show is now or the Boulevard Mall. You get a new outfit for fight night. We would walk through the Caesars. You'd see all these celebrities, entertainers, actors, athletes, you name it. We get a drink. You'd stand outside the stadium, and all the nightlife guys, people that you would see, the guys, the girls, this, that.
Yeah.
You'd see them. You'd be like, "Hey, what's going on? How you doing?" Right, dap and a hug. You going in? Yeah, we'll see you in there. If we don't, hey, we'll catch up with you at Tramps or Botany's or whatever the club was. We'll see you down there later. If we don't see you inside. Me and my boy, we never had a ticket back then. We were too young. We didn't have tickets to get in there. They were costly. It was just the place to be.
Yep.
So we would go. We'd stand outside the stadium, outside the entrance, say hi to everybody, and then we'd catch them up at the nightclub later. Like, oh, yeah, we didn't see you in there, but, man, what a fight, huh? it was an occasion.
Willie's getting ready for the Aces game down at Mick Ultra Arena. Get in price right now as low as $45 per ticket for two up on the secondary market. I'm hanging out here at Treasure Island, or Friday home throughout the season. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Lots of cool prizes to give away. We got T-shirts, other swag, and We'll have to go back to a point I made yesterday, but we've got tickets for this weekend's concert. There's a lot going on this weekend, too. But there's a concert in town. Warrant and Lita Ford, and we got tickets.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Rolling on. Big game tonight over at Mick Ultra Arena. You know what? When I was talking about the get-in price on secondary market, I was actually looking downstairs. You can get in tonight right now for $15 a ticket upstairs. So good seats available. Yeah. We just saw the announcement the other day that all the tickets are sold out, including for T-Mobile Arena. But always go to the secondary market depending on what kind of weekend it is, Willie. Sometimes you can get in for a little bit cheaper. I'll tell you, when I went, two Fridays ago, there happened to be a country concert right down the way at T-Mobile. And boy, oh boy, it was crazy, crazy that night. And like I said, man, Willie, you know this. You've been here a long time. You've been here longer than me. You've been covering sports around Vegas longer than me. And I've been here since 96. Weeks like this in the past, we'd all be like, I'd always have something to talk about. But be like, okay, on the ground in Vegas, you know, there's not a ton going on in terms of shows, but especially sports. It's so crazy right now. It is insane. And then when you put it up against, you know, you got basketball going up against shows. I was just mentioning we have tickets. Come on down. Parking's free here at Treasure Island. Come down to the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We got prizes, including concert tickets, show tickets for Warren and Lita Ford. So that's a show I want to go to. But I will tell you, I can't go to it unless I decide to bail on the SO, Willie. Because you know what another big sporting event is here in town?
What's that?
The offshoot of the Bananas. Now the Bananas apparently have, like, satellite programs. Savannah Banana and Company are playing out at the ballpark. Now the big squad just sold out, like, two freaking stadiums, including Fenway. And I didn't go last year to LV Ballpark. But let me tell you, the SO came home last year from going to see the Bananas at the ballpark, and she was like, she wanted to go the next day, and I'm like, okay, listen. Because she was like, oh, let's bring like eight people. I'm like, the tickets are $160 right now. Yeah. Like, I don't think I'm going to spend $1,000 to go see the Savannah Bananas. So her and her friend got on it real early, and they're in. So I'm going to that tomorrow, although I may have to coax my way out of it and go see Lita Ford. You know I love her.
The Savannah Bananas are in town, or one of their offshoots?
One of the offshoots, yeah. But I mean, yeah, what, I don't know who's on the Savannah Bananas.
I can't remember what it's called, but yeah,
it's like the firefighters against someone.
Yeah. there's a new one now.
Yeah, they're I mean, I think they can do so many dates and sell out so many places. It's basically, you know, it's a Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. People freaking love it.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, it's been what, 2 years now that we have been saying it's amazing what we have going on in this town. At this time, like, let's go back 5-6 years ago, just before the pandemic. Right at this point in time, right now, we'd be heavy talking NBA Summer League. It's coming. Can't wait for the Summer League to come. Now, we won't be talking about it until it gets here.
Summer League will be competing with football media days. College football media days are on the ground that week, so. It's crazy,
man.
Oh, yeah,
the Big 12 Media Day's coming up.
Yep, Big 12 and Mountain West Conference are back-to-back, so that's going to be that'll be cool because for folks out there unaware, you know, that football season's right around the corner. It is, man. It is. All right, quick time out here on the way back. We do want to get in a little more WNBA. There's some stories around the league. Angel Reese has made some waves this week, and now we got another Olympic team opening. Well, we have an Olympic team opening. It's not on the big squad, the women's full court squad. It's for 3-on-3. I would assume Caitlin Clark's got to be in, right? Cameron Brink is out. Another player's injured. Let's go, Caitlin.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
55-plus TDs. We got a bunch of action coming up here, including the Fever with Caitlin Clark in Atlanta. That'll be a 4:30 start. That's on ION. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. Baseball kicking off. We get a final in. I'll tell you about that in a second. Later in the show, Willie, we're actually going to go out to Philadelphia and southeastern Pennsylvania where Mark McMillan has like 20 events going on this week. He is the hottest ticket. He's doing cooking events. He's doing a football camp, so he's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. And right now at the Phillies game, I think he went to the Phillies game the other night with a bunch of former Eagles, but they're doing a Cole Hamels retirement ceremony, which I don't know about you, Willie. I don't like to, you know, often say on the air that I'm old. I do all the time, but Cole Hamels retiring makes me feel old. He started in 2006.
Wild, right?
It's like he doesn't look old, but it's like, oh, here we go. Like, you know, this big ceremony for him. It's pretty
crazy. Well, if you think about it, the next wave of players, you ready for this one? The next wave of players that we're going to be talking about retiring, as far as an era, will be the Chris Bryants, the Bryce Harpers, guys that I covered in high school.
Last week, Willie, when we were at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame, we talked about, let's look at like 10 to 15 years from now, who are the type of people that the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame is inducting? And we were trying to come up with, like, the five biggest choices. And, you know, right on top of the list, obviously, is Bryce Harper, right? You know, if he plays, what is he now, 28, 29? So, you know, plays in his early 40s. He could be going to the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame, along with a lot of other Hall of Fames, but, you know, in about 15 years. And it's just the growth of sports and, you know, the population here and what we produce from a high-level professional sports standpoint is just – it's blowing the roof off the place. It's crazy.
If the Houston Texans are as improved as we think they're going to be and as stacked as they're going to be, and let's just say it. Let's just throw it out there. Why not? They win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years.
Uh-huh.
No reason why we can't say Brevin Jordan won't
be in
that conversation.
I knew you would bring him up. My list last week, I had most of it filled in with, hey, these folks have the strongest chance of being in the Hall of Fame. I didn't put any aces on the list, but assume that, you know, probably someone will be in from the aces in 15 years, if not a couple of people. But I had Bryce Harper, Max Crosby, Bill Foley, Mark Davis, Kyle Busch. Towards the bottom of the list, I included Lawrence Guy, who won a ton of Super Bowls. He's a local with the Patriots. Ronnie Stanley, who knows what the rest of his career is like, right? Starting left tackle in the NFL, gazillionaire, and I'm missing out on a bunch of names. You just mentioned one of them. I said, hey, what happens if Chris Bryant turns his career around? He might be in already. You know, Joey Gallo's got like a 200 home runs already. What if he, you know, gets his career going the right way? Bryson Stott will be a little after that. Brevin Jordan. We're going to talk about Ramondre Stevenson, who just signed a deal for like, whatever, $36 million. Your guy, Julian Strother. Hell, another guy who's turning around in Major League Baseball is Eric Fetty. So the names going in like 15 years from now are going to be insane.
Robinson, who knows?
Yep.
All right. You mentioned the Aces. Let me ask you real quick. Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame, we're talking about, you know, these are names that meant something from like childhood on up and what they've done. If you look at you're going to recognize the Aces. I think you put in one of the two, if not the second championship team as a whole. We've seen the SNHOF do that, right?
Right,
put in a team. I would say the second team.
Yeah.
That set the WNBA record for wins, so on and so forth.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down with that. All right, so what's going on with the Fever tonight is Caitlin Clark is playing much better basketball. Leah Boston throwing around her 6'4", 240 frame a lot more effectively. She's got her confidence back. She was kind of wilting early under all the pressure. What are you seeing from the Fever, and especially Caitlin Clark? Still turning the ball over a little too much, but has been much more efficient in terms of getting the ball in hoop.
What I'm seeing is that Christy Sides finally had time. She had a week to sort of tweak things and look at game film and see what was going wrong. And figure out that, you know, she's under a lot of pressure, right? I mean, you don't want to take the ball out of Caitlin Clark's hands. And the way that the teams are playing her is the way that they're playing a lot of teams and a lot of players, just that she wasn't used to it. But when you're running the offense through her, you know, for the most part, and your leading scorer is just as good as she was last year, Kelsey Mitchell, and you have the rookie of the year in the paint, you have to adjust and run the offense that way. And what we've seen during this win streak is that Aaliyah Boston has become a lot more of the offense. It's not just that her numbers have grown. Her attempts have grown. Her touches have grown. They talked about that in the post-game press conference the other night, in that everybody's getting more touches, so you're seeing a lot more. And what it's doing is it's creating more space. So you're dropping the ball, whether it's a driving kick or whether they're forcing the ball down low, and Boston can kick it back out. All of a sudden, there's space for a team that includes not just Caitlin Clark, but Kelsey Mitchell and Alyssa Smith. Different players that have been on the team. And they're doing it a little bit shorthanded with one of the players that was playing really well early on in Temi Faberle. Christy Wallace is on the scene. Katie Lou Samuelson. Erica Wheeler, who was a WNBA All-Star MVP in 2019 here in Vegas. So this is a stacked team. On the defensive end, Lexi Hull comes off the bench. She's a defensive stalwart who won a national championship with Stanford. But by spreading the ball around and including more people in the schematics of things, and it's not a knock on Christy Sides and what she wasn't doing, it's that she was finally had time to practice. They've all said that. Caitlin Clark said it the other night, Kelsey Mitchell said it, Leah Boston and Christy Sides. They've all asked her, what's the difference? The difference is we've been able to practice. We've actually been able to practice and not do just a walkthrough the day before a game.
Willie Will is in. He's at Mick Ultra Arena game tonight, 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 pregame right here on ESPN Las Vegas. You can listen on 1100, 100.9 FM. And as I mentioned earlier, you can go. I mean, tickets are available on the secondary market. Right now, you want to sit upstairs, section 206, section 209. Get in for $17. So take advantage of it. Should be a good one, 13-1 Sun. Are the opponent. And you know, the intriguing thing with the Fever now, Willie, is with more wins here, they're getting to respectability, and this is a league that doesn't have, you know, 32 teams. It's got a short field, so a lot of teams make the playoffs. I mean, behind the scenes, they're not going to say it, but because imagine the firestorm if they actually said it, how mad some other players would get. But the league has got to be rooting for Caitlin Clark to get on the dance floor, even if they, you know, were in a 1-8 series and got blown away. At least they'd get some TV time in the playoffs for Caitlin Clark, and the Fever are alive for that spot now.
And right now they're the number 8 team. They play the 7th place team, Atlanta, tonight. There's no reason that Indiana should not make the playoff team. I think the number 8 team is going to be a dogfight between the likes of Atlanta, Phoenix, Chicago, right in there. All those bottom teams, they're not really bottom teams. I feel bad that the Sparks lost Cameron Brink. Dallas has been a MASH unit. They just found out Maddie Segrist will be out till after the Olympic break. Washington, I think that they had too many losses early on to recover and climb into the race. But what they're going to do is pose a problem on those occasional games against the Chicagos, the Indianas, the Atlantas, the Phoenixes, because if they catch them on a road an East Coast road trip, you know, you go through New York, you go through Connecticut, two physical teams, and oh, by the way, we're going to go over and play the Mystics. That's a tough draw because they're trying to figure it. They're finally figuring it out. So I think the Fever are going to get into the playoffs. And, yes, you're right. I think it's going to attract, obviously, an audience with what we're already seeing. But what if they climb up there into the 16th? And all of a sudden, who are they facing? Maybe the Lynx, maybe the Storm, maybe the Aces. And they get better and improve, they could cause some problems. If, you know, Christy Sides, you know, if anything, what that team has become through the quarter poll, mentally stronger. We have seen them handle press conferences tremendously. So this team has come together and really gone through a lot. Through that 11-game gauntlet in the first 20 days was impressive.
Angel Reese is coming on. She's got a bunch of double-doubles. What do you think of her play? What do you think of the Sky? And this sets up what could be maybe an interesting Rookie of the Year race in the WNBA.
It is an interesting Rookie of the Year race, and I think that Angel Reese has to be brought into the conversation. A lot of people are going to make a big deal that a lot of her points are coming because it's close to the basket, but that's what she does. You know, it's funny that people say we shouldn't be making a big deal about her points because they're so close to the hoop, but if she was missing... that's just the art. Like, if you read different articles, if you're reading the Caitlin Clark articles. But the problem is if she was missing them, then that's what we'd be talking about.
Right.
So she's supposed to be making those shots. Right?
Who cares where they're – I mean, the three-pointer is valuable. Well, give me a break. Putbacks don't count now?
Right, exactly. So, her rebounds are off of her misses, and then her putbacks are the recent – yeah, exactly. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. I was one of the persons that said two people were going to struggle in their rookie year, the first couple of months. You and I talked about, I said, Caitlin Clark, was everything Diana Taurasi said was true, and would Reese's offensive game translate outside of offensive rebounds, would it translate to the WNBA? They're slowly proving us wrong. Yep. Caitlin Clark.
What's it? Keep yourself proving you wrong. I said Reese slipping was a mistake in the WNBA to number 7.
Yeah.
I thought she'd be impact. I didn't think she could hit a shot outside of 13 feet with that jumper.
You also had Caitlin Clark stealing the show early on and that she was going to be dominant. She hasn't been dominant.
I had her averaging 22.5 points per game this year. It hasn't happened yet.
Yet.
Also, the 50-burger. The 50-burger that Superbook posted, that hasn't happened yet either. I don't know if that one happens. That's a lot of points in a WNBA game.
It is.
Last odds. Sorry, Willie. Last odds I saw for Rookie of the Year were at the beginning of the week in the WNBA, and you might want to bet this. Angel Reese was plus 850, and Caitlin Clark checked in at minus 700.
I just did an article, and I'm going to leave it at, without saying, going to WGRamirez.com, and I did my quarter pole awards, and I did a little capsule on who I thought would win right now. And then it said, next up, right there, snubbed. So I got four names in each category.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to it. Last one real quick is Alex Waite's coming in. We're going to talk about this a little later on the show. But give me a name or two who can replace, and we literally have a minute left here. Give me a name or two who can replace Cam Brink, three-on-three team at the Olympics. Who are the females who can get in there?
Well, De'Erica Hamby's wouldn't be a bad choice. I would imagine that a lot of people, and this would be where the Olympic Committee and the Selection Committee could bring in Caitlin Clark if she wanted to do it. There are a lot of viable names with teams. Erika Agumbawale, we found out that she actually removed herself from the
pool.
That's crazy. Because of politics. She had said because of politics. So. Few names out there, but De'Erica Hamby wouldn't be too bad as far as bringing some veteran name in there. I can see it. I saw that name come across. So we'll wait to see. And I want to see if Ryan Howard comes back. You know, she suffered an injury, too. She's on that team.
It's a sad story with Cam Brink. That would have been awesome to see her complete her rookie season. And now you have to assume she's going to be out, you know, a decent part of next season. That sucks.
Yeah. I felt bad for her just because I know Cam from the years of coming in here in the Pac-12, being a part of everything, and she was off to a great start. She was right there in the Rookie of the Year conversation, and she's just, you know, she's a good person, and I think she brings an incredible element just in her rookie year, especially with her shot blocking skills and her defensive skills. So tough to see. Hope she comes back strong next year.
Willie, you are the man. Enjoy the game today. We appreciate you joining us for an hour. We'll see you, buddy.